Pastor Ed Taylor speaks for a moment about God's heart for the lost and the world.
I'm asking you to consider those areas of your life where you're prejudiced, whatever it may be. Prejudice has an idea not only of prejudging, but thinking more highly of yourself than others. That when you prejudge someone, they're in a lower class than you or in a different class. And may the Lord, by his agape love, help us to show true love. That when we read John 3:16, when it says God so loved the world, that we really mean it. We really mean the one struggling with sin. We really mean the one with a rough past. We really mean the one that's in prison right now. We really mean the one that just is, their whole life has been one mistake after another, one failure after another.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Hello, and welcome again to Abounding Grace. It's good to be with you today as we dive back into our study in Genesis. Today, we'll be camping out in chapter 10, listening to part 2 of Ed Taylor's message, God's Heart is for All the Nations. And as we get started, Pastor Ed speaks for a moment about someone we could view as a type of the Antichrist to come.
I want to give a little bit of attention to this guy by the name of Nimrod. Again, looking for Bible names for your kids, here you have one, little Nimrod. Nimrod is a very interesting character in the Bible. His name literally means rebel, or to be rebellious. It can also mean valiant and strong. And when you put these definitions together, you have a valiant, strong rebel. Or you could also say a very strong-willed, rebellious man. Now remember, whenever the Bible speaks of rebellion in a character, in a man or a woman, the rebellion is toward God, not necessarily toward one another. However, when you are rebellious toward God, you will also be rebellious toward others. And Nimrod is a great example of that. His life was one long rebellion against the things of God. He's known historically for establishing cities and kingdoms. And it says that in verse 9, it says that he was a mighty hunter. And just mark that phrase, before the Lord. Just mark that. We'll get back to it in a second. He was a mighty hunter. And so he was talked about as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord. But according to the rabbis and the Jewish Targum, the rabbis taught that this isn't necessarily a reference toward the hunting of animals as much as it was a hunting or a conquering of the souls of men. And historically, Nimrod, starting with Babel, continuing to Babylon, and thinking of how Babylon represents that end time city in rebellion toward God, that in the hunting and pursuing and conquering, Nimrod would do whatever he needed to do to abuse people and take advantage of them for his own gain. However, even in his rebellion, it says that he was before the Lord. And I believe God would have us to be encouraged for those situations and people in our lives that are very hard, very difficult, maybe some rebelliousness, some enemies, difficulties, attacks, that what's happening to you tonight is happening before the Lord. It is not unseen. I know it feels like that at times. You kind of, like in the psalmist, when the psalmist talks about, you know, what is going on? Don't you see God? Why are you allowing this? Many times David would sit there with his harp and begin to think, you know, what is happening in my life? Why? I had someone very close to me recently ask me a couple of questions about why. And we're just driving along and he's like, why this and why that? And it's easy to try to jump in and begin to answer that question, but eventually it's like, you know, those questions aren't answerable. I don't know why. I might be able to give you some theological answer or some principle from the scriptures, But even that's not satisfying because it doesn't really take away the difficulty. You go, man, I've got a Nimrod after me, Ed. Why? So I don't know, but it's before the Lord. Nothing is happening apart from God. God sees every wicked person, every wicked deed, and he's aware of everything that goes on, which leads to the next why question. Well, why doesn't he just stop it if he knows it all? Well, some of that is reserved into the mysteries of God's will. I do know this, he has stopped things before. I do know that. I do know that in his sovereignty and his grace, he has intervened. I do know that even if he doesn't stop, I do know that he's gonna work all things together for the good. I do know that we're gonna grow through the pain. I do know, you know, that it's like God has his hand on the thermostat and he doesn't allow it to get hotter than for us to have the way of escape and trusting with our lives. I do know this, I can speak for myself. I may not be able to answer all the why questions, but I certainly can speak from my own personal experience. The things that God have allowed in my life, as painful as they are, have made me a better man. They've made me a more worshipful man. They've made me a more broken man, a more humble man. God is able to use the trials and difficulties in our lives and even the Nimrods, just the Nimrods. Just the name makes you, yeah, even the Nimrods. He allows the Nimrods. Does that name like resonate yet? Nimrod? People are listening on the radio, stop it already, stop it. But even the rebel, even the valiant and the strong, the ones that seem to be getting away with everything, the ones that seem to have all the power and all the leverage and everything that the world values, they seem to be getting away with it. And not only getting away with it, more and more and more. I don't know what's happening exactly in the spiritual realm. I don't know how much they're getting away with. I don't know what they're dealing with. I don't know how miserable their life is. I don't know any of that, but I do know this. It is all happening before the Lord, and he is righteous, and he is just, and nothing, nothing, nothing gets past God. What you sow is what you'll reap. I don't know when, and I don't know how, but you know, it can go both ways, right? You don't have to sow to the flesh, you can sow to the Spirit. You know, what you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap that too. When you sow to righteousness, you'll reap righteousness. When you are a giver, you'll be given to, you know, you'll be blessed, you'll be encouraged, you'll be strengthened. It's more blessed to give than to receive. When you help, when you step into someone's life, when you help someone just get up a little bit, when you go and rescue, when you redeem, when you help restore, God blesses those. So Nimrod, I mean, you're going to read more of him. We'll read ahead in chapter 11 for our study next time. But Nimrod is the antithesis of God on the earth. No problem doing whatever it takes. And he becomes a picture and a type of the coming Antichrist that's spoken of in 2 Thessalonians and Revelation. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, but later Babylon literally mean that he built it as it was a gateway to God is what he believed. But Babylon speaks of the ultimate rebellion against God. And we know this, Babylon is ultimately destroyed in Revelation. All right, let's move on to the family in verse 15 of Canaan. It says, Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, and the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Zemarite, the Hamathite, and afterward the families of the Canaanites were dispersed. Verse 19, and the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon as you go toward Gerar, as far as Gaza, and then you go down towards Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim, as far as Lasha. There were sons of Ham. These were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages in their lands and in their nations. So here's the line and family of Canaan, the son of Ham. We have brief information on the families of Canaan. One special note in this list is Sidon, the father of the Hittites. Another note that you might want to mark in the verse 17 are the Sinites. These are the father of the Oriental peoples or the Chinese. And you notice all the ites in this line, it's significant. All the ites mentioned here in Genesis 10 become very significant when the children of Israel enter where? The promised land. Because they all face all these ites. These are all the enemies of God. They come through the line of Canaan. Now, verse 21. Children were born also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder. The sons of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arphaxad begot Salah, and Salah begot Eber, and to Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almadad, Sheleph, Hazarmapheth, Jerah, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, Jobab. All these were sons of Joktan, verse 30. And their dwelling place was from Mesha as you go toward Sephar, the mountain of the east. These were the sons of Shem according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah according to their generations, in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. This is an important line, Shem. All the descendants of the Middle East come from Shem, but most importantly, Shem is the lineage by which Messiah comes. So this is significant. The Semitic peoples come through Shem. The most notable Semites are the descendants of Israel. Now remember the prophecy that was given of Noah about Shem, that he was to be the father of a people whose God, the only living and true God, was to be blessed. And so Shem's descendants were to reach out to the world and lead all people to worship and bless God. Now notice in verse 21 some highlights. Many scholars believe that in verse 21, the children of Eber is actually the root word from which we get our word Hebrew from. And the rest of the Bible is now focused on this important line and lineage, not only because of Israel, but because a Messiah would come through this blessed line of peoples. It says in verse 22, Elam, he was the father of the Persian people, Elamites. Abram will settle in this area, and while there, an Elamite king will come and attack him. Asher was the father of the Assyrian peoples. Lud was the father of the Lydians who lived in Asia Minor. And we visit Asia Minor when we come through the rest of the study in the book of Acts. Aram was the father of the Syrians in Damascus. A language develops through the Syrians, the language known as Aramaic. The Aramaic language is one of three languages used in the Bible. Remember, the Old Testament is primarily written in the Hebrew language, with the exception of a few chapters in the book of Daniel that go and switch from Hebrew to Aramaic and then back to Hebrew. The New Testament was written in the common day language of the first century in the area of Israel, which was Koine Greek. And that's why when you're reading translations in the English, there are sentence structures and things that are helped. Even with the New King James, I pointed this out before, but as you're reading through the New King James, you will see words added in italics, not in the sense of adding to the Bible, but giving a phrase or a turn of phrase that might help it be better understood in the English language. Because if they just translated the Greek straight through, there's no punctuation and the sentence structures are different. And the Greek language is much more descriptive than English. So Aramaic develops through Aram and is used in the book of Daniel. Jesus himself would speak Aramaic as well. Back to verse 22. The sons of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arphaxad is in the direct line leading to Abram. And then Uz in verse 23, you Bible students know that Uz is that region of Arabia. And later we know that Job is known to come from Uz. Joktan is another name. One of the names following are all associated with the Arab people in that region. Verse 29 is interesting because you have that name Ophir, Havilah, and then Jobab. Now, many scholars believe that this is an extended version of the name Job, of which is the oldest, believed to be the oldest book in the scriptures. This may be Job there. And these two were scattered across the globe. And we're reminded in Genesis 10 of God's great love for the whole earth. As we close, it's very important to understand God's heart for the lost and God's heart for the world. And my encouragement to you, whether you're here now or listening on the radio, watching online, maybe listening at some later date when this airs on the radio, I'm asking you to consider those areas of your life where you're prejudiced, whatever it may be. Prejudice has an idea not only of prejudging, but thinking more highly of yourself than others. that when you prejudge someone, they're in a lower class than you or in a different class. And may the Lord, by his agape love, help us to show true love, that when we read John 3:16, when it says God so loved the world, that we really mean it. We really mean the one struggling with sin. We really mean the one with a rough past. We really mean the one that's in prison right now. We really mean the one that just is, their whole life has been one mistake after another, one failure after another. That we would learn how to actively, and again, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. None of us can do this on our own, but that we would really learn how to walk in the grace of God. That we would really learn how to give second chances or third chances. We would participate with the restorative work of God. That we wouldn't be so quick to label people. That we wouldn't be so quick to be influenced by others that label people. And so I agree with them. You know, they made such a convincing case in 30 seconds. But rather, I mean, I hope you guys are listening to Grace FM. I really do. And I mean, there's a little bit of a selfish part of that, because I just know when you're listening to Bible studies, you'll be encouraged. Like, the Lord will change you the more Bible study you listen to. I mean, you will change in another way listening to country music, but not listening to Bible studies. So it's worth it. But today on the show the live show was just amazing. It was, God gave a gift to everybody who was listening. You should listen to the podcast, second half of the show toward the end. A gal calls up and shares how she's having a hard time forgiving herself for being such a rebel as a teenager. Just broken. And just can't, she's in her 30s. I think she said she was 38. And she's looking back at a season of her life and just admitting, you know, that she was such a rebel and so hard for her mom, her single mom. And she just went on sharing that. And as I'm listening and praying, I'm like, well, you know, and as I was leading, asking some follow-up questions, talking about she having a hard time forgiving herself. And if that's something that you wrestle with, I shared with her, you know, we're working on a book right now. Hopefully it'll be done in the next 3 to 4 months on how to deal with your past, how to have freedom from your past. So we're working on that, and that's good. I taught those Bible studies that are up on our app, on our website. But I asked her for a picture. I just wanted to know, what did she mean by I don't forgive yourself? I don't want to assume. I don't know what she means. And as she began to explain it, she went right back to 13 years ago. So she fast-forwarded from the time with her mom, because beating herself up for something that happened 20-something years ago is unique. I mean, we all have regrets, amen? Anybody have regrets? If we think back far enough, we all have regrets. So it was just unusual that she was so tethered to that season, and her mom has forgiven her and all that. So those of you who are listening, you know what she said. She said, 13 years ago, I had an abortion. And I just can't forgive myself. And that opened up a whole new channel of ministry, didn't it? It happened, a whole new opportunity about how she's been held in bondage. Just one of the things the abortion industry or those that approve of abortion, and that's the big secret nobody wants to talk about. The real deep-seated, painful damage that's done to a woman and often the man that participates in a decision. So she began to share that, and she began to cry, and very emotional time. And I took the opportunity to help her understand the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. And yeah, I know if she had the information today, back then, what she had today, she would no way make that decision. But you can't erase 13 years. And she's been living with it, living with it, living with it. The reason I believe it's relevant for our study tonight is that if you are watching the news or following all the Christian voices, you would think that abortion is some political stand to take. You would think that abortion, the primary way of stepping into abortion, is just carry a sign and fight for this and yell on the steps because everyone else is yelling. So if everyone's yelling, then the Christians have to yell too. But the reality is that Jesus Christ came to usher in a different kingdom. He came in to do a different work. And if you're not careful, you will find yourself identifying with the way people want you to identify. They'll convince you. I mean, after all, it's a good cause. After all, it's a righteous cause. And for us, it's a biblical cause to stand in the gap for the unborn and to stand in the gap for those who have no voice. Yes, 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 and yes. But who's going to reach out to the hurting? Who's going to reach out to the one carrying this pain for 13 years? And it's manifesting. That's not why she called. It's manifesting because she can't forgive herself the way she treated her mom. And it's just taken root as a bondage. It seemed like those two things were bondages in her life. And even in just a few moments on the radio, God was able to give some release to her and some freedom and some forgiveness. And I'm not advocating, I'm not here as a pastor to tell you how you engage in the culture wars and such like that. I don't know. You could line up here one after another and say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. I just want you from the pulpit here on behalf, I believe, speaking of God, that if you're not careful, you will adopt other people's views and opinions about things. And then you will say that's God's opinion and be fully convinced about it. And I just want to say and suggest to you that you might be wrong. And you spend your whole life and all your energy and passion on wrong things. When your neighbor, the person that lives next to you, the person you share a fence with, the person that you see taking out the trash, because she's somebody's neighbor, she lives somewhere, is hurting because of a decision. Everything's on the news and it's all back in her face. And all God wants for her is to know that he loves her and that he forgives her. And it's almost like you can hear the voice of Jesus in some way saying, just go and sin no more. Perhaps that's a testimony for you tonight. That's your story. Different name, different age, different, but that's your story. You're so wounded and crushed and broken. And then all the world has labels and narratives and you're hiding behind this and you're hiding behind that. I mean, we could go, today's show was really, really powerful. What God wanted to do from just set free, set free, set free calls. That's what they were today. And God wants to set you free. You don't need to call some radio station to be set free. You can be set free right now.
Yes, indeed. God would love to set you free, and he alone can do so. Hey, thanks for listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Ed Taylor. We're going and growing through a study of Genesis right now. You can hear this message again online at aboundinggraceradio.com or listen through our app. Search for Ed Taylor in the App Store or Google Play. Pastor Ed, today you made reference to your book, Free from Your Past. It was in the works when you were delivering this message, as you said, but it's finished now. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about it and where to go for ordering?
Yeah, Larry, we did finish and complete Free from Your Past, and it's doing exceptionally well in ministering to people, learning how to grow from past mistakes, past difficulties, shame, regret, anger, forgiveness, your identity in Christ. We were super excited putting it together as these Bible studies were being taught. And now we're way more excited as we get to provide it in book form, not only in English, but also in Spanish. We have it available in Spanish as well. The best place to get it is on our website, calvarystore.com, calvarystore.com. Of course, you can get it wherever you get books, but the best place to get it is on our store because all the net proceeds of any of the books that we have available on Calvary Store, especially any books that I have written and published, I've decided to give all the net proceeds to our missionaries. And so all the ministry that goes through that book, you get it twice. You get to be blessed, but as you're buying the book, giving it as a gift, you get to bless missionaries as well. So you're blessing someone or yourself, and then you're also blessing our missionaries. Free from Your Past, it's probably the best chapter. I mean, they're all really good, but one of the best chapters in that book is your identity in Christ, who you are. When you know who you are, like the enemy's going at you, trying to get, look at our world today with all of the confusion and gender confusion and all, because the enemy just wants people not knowing who they are and could be in Christ.
Get it. It's called Free From Your Past. We're very happy with it, and God is blessing it in huge ways.
Online ordering is super easy at calvaryco.store. Again, that's Free From Your Past by Ed Taylor. Well, that'll do it for today. Come back tomorrow when Pastor Ed Taylor will pick up where we left off in Genesis here on Abounding Grace.
This is amazing grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.